I'm sure this topic has been covered many times on your show, but we know how good podcasting is for business and promotion, right? It's, you get to sit in the ear of your listeners for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. So we know it's good for business. We know it's a high converting medium, but we also know that speaking is a muscle. So when you do it more, you get better at it.
Welcome to Between Two Mics, the podcast that brings you remote recording resources from Squadcast.fm.
I'm Rock Felder, co-founder and CFO of Squadcast.
And I'm Zach Moreno, co-founder and CEO.
On Between Two Mics, we bring you interviews with podcasters, experts in the field of remote recording. We discuss current events in podcasting and so much more.
Twice a month, you'll hear a founder's episode. That's just the two of us chatting about all things remote recording, updates to Squadcast, what we're up to, and what we're listening to.
The other 2 weeks of the month, we'll bring you interview episodes. Zach and I will sit down with experts in the podcast space to discuss their companies, their podcasts, their thoughts on podcasting, creating content, and more.
The most exciting part? We're recording all of this on Squadcast, the best place to record remote audio and video interviews in studio quality.
So, let's get Between Two Mics.
Hey everybody, I'd like to introduce you to today's guest. Her name is Lauren Popish, and Lauren is the founder of The Wave Podcasting. And their mission is to help women tell their unique stories through podcasting. And The Wave Podcasting offers a bunch of resources, educational, event-based community, and even a physical recording studio space exclusively for women in Los Angeles that opened in February 2020. I think that's on pause now. We'll check with Lauren in the conversation. But before podcasting, Lauren enjoyed over a decade-long career in commercial interior design and real estate. And fun fact, she's also the host of a podcast called the Book Wine Club podcast. So make sure to subscribe there. And in this conversation with Lauren, we explore where she got her start in interior design and real estate and how that transitioned and evolved over time towards a career in podcasting, where she eventually then founded The Wave Podcasting. We'll talk about how she views community and how gender topics come about in content and podcasting, and also take a look forward as to where Lauren sees The Wave Podcasting evolving into the future and how our listeners can help serve her mission. And with that, Lauren Popish, welcome to Between Two Mics.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like we're in a room together. It's awesome.
That's the goal. That's the goal. And just to kind of paint the picture of how we're going to tell the story today for the audience, for our listeners, thanks for joining us today. We're going to kind of touch on where you've come from in your career and on your journey, Lauren, towards kind of before your work with The Wave Podcasting, where you see things in that effort and mission currently, and then kind of looking forward as to where we're headed in the work that you're doing. To kind of get us started, like your passion for podcasting has its roots in a maybe less obvious place, but in interior design and work in real estate. And I think there's having like kind of gone to art school and worked with some interior designers, I think I see how that progression and maybe pivot would work, but want to hear it in your words. Like, can you tell us the story of how you made that transition from your prior career and got started in podcasting?
Absolutely. When you say it like that, just interior design or real estate, it does seem disconnected. But anybody, especially you would understand if you did some kind of creative pursuit, people who go into design fields have an ambition to make a certain impact on humans and their behavior, especially a design and real estate and architecture path really has impact on the way that people experience the world, whether in their homes. I think a lot of people think about interior design in their homes. My specialty was actually workplace and office interior design. So making a space that feels productive, that is collaborative, you know, you can design to encourage conversation and innovation. You can design to increase health and promote people to walk more in their office, get more natural light. All of that was such a motivational curious thing for me. It just felt like my way to leave an awesome mark on the world. And when I started dabbling in podcasting, not because I knew I would pursue a career or shift into a full tech focus at all, I just had a goal to promote myself or build a brand in a way that felt comfortable using my voice. But in the experience of podcasting, you realize how much the space is important to the craft of podcasting. So I spent a lot of time building out in a home studio that helped me not only do the act well, so create high quality audio, but also feel really comfortable and confident doing that. Because at the time, I was really struggling with public speaking. I had lost a lot of speaking confidence at the time. I needed to feel good using my voice. And to do that, I wanted to be in a space that was bright, colorful. It had art on the walls. It didn't feel technical or techy or shiny and cold, maybe. And by creating that space, I built a place for my friends to also come in and have great conversations with me on the mic. And they, in turn, wanted to, you know, use the space for their own pursuits. It started to grow, but it all came back to just creating really nice, beautiful space to have good conversations. So that was the spark of an idea. The business grew the way that you want all your businesses to grow, where you solved a problem that you didn't know people had, and they started asking and demanding it and wanting to rent the studio and come into the space. So that is how it started. And it's evolved quite a bit, especially because COVID has changed the nature of what it means to be in person, come together in a physical environment together. But I don't think the goal has changed, which is just helping people who might struggle with confidence, like marginalized demographics, like women, feel more comfortable using their voice, whether that's with space or really good resources. That goal has remained the same, but the origin is definitely in creating just a really comfortable environment.
So it sounds like one door just opened another, right? Or it wasn't necessarily you were completely intentional about it, but just found a need. And I think you're right. Like, it was a very, and it's still probably continues to be pretty male dominated. And I'm sure we would love to hear more of your perspective on that. But yeah, so starting it, just one thing led to another, and here we are.
Yeah, it was a very natural progression. And I have to say, as speaking to two folks who own a SaaS business, and I will say after working in proper interior design, I actually went to go work for a real estate tech startup where I learned about, became much more techie in nature. It wasn't my origin, but I have a love for the internet and what the internet's made possible for businesses and individuals. But all that to say, even though I had this love for tech, I never came in and knew that I would be building a business that was built around technology, nor a business around interior design. I just wanted to solve needs. And I actually wasn't, it didn't feel like I was doing enough of that in my job. So maybe where someone would see this opportunity arise and just write it out, I thought, how do you take that and actually put a brand to it? How do you take it and put a business name and actually start to serve people, maybe put a pricing model on it? How do you actually take it and turn it into something that could give me some freedom? But it happened so naturally, way more naturally than any of my other quote business ideas were in the past. When I wanted to start something, it happened the way that you want it to start, just totally organically.
That's super inspiring and resonates for me as parallels to my own journey into podcasting with kind of starting in graphic design, or you know, fine art, and then graphic design, and then technology, and then kind of finding a way to put all that stuff together here with podcasting. I think, you know, is something that's very inspiring. And there's all sorts of paths that lead into podcasting. Like Rock and I often like to say that like podcasters aren't necessarily interesting because of the act of podcasting. It's what you bring to podcasting. And, you know, your voice, Lauren, is unique. And, you know, every guest that you have on your show for our listeners, you know, is something that really brings magic into podcasting, many diverse voices and backgrounds into podcasting. And, you know, just to be straight up about it, we need more of that. And I'm grateful that you're playing a really big role in that with now being the founder of The Wave Podcasting. In your opinion about podcasting, like, what is your opinion on gender topics within podcasting, just to kind of establish that?
I think I mentioned that part of the reason that podcasting was a medium I turned to when trying to think about building a brand or think about having just making space for myself on the internet in the public eye. Podcasting felt like a good one for me because it was fitting my current desire of having a voice, but having a bit of a fear of public speaking. So I wasn't out there trying to go have a place in a panel or in a conference. Mm-hmm. I also, video was intimidating to me for all the reasons that video is intimidating. So podcasting felt like this really nice, safe way to be authentic, not have to sit down and hide behind a computer and write. I mean, writing is a wonderful creative expression. It can also be a barrier to true self-expression. You know, I feel like you wish there was that sarcastic emoji when you're texting, because sometimes you just can't communicate as much through writing as you can by using your own voice. And humans are meant to pick up on all of these intonation things, this deeper meaning beyond just the words you say, by the way you actually use your voice. I love to be long-winded, so just bear with me on this.
I'm eating up. Keep going.
Okay, great. I was like, how deep do I want to go into the voice thing?
Deeper.
I'm
going to
go deep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here I go. Here's my shovel. This was the medium that was going to fit what I wanted to do at the time because of this like speaking fear. And I was using it almost as a form of exposure therapy to practice getting on the mic, having conversations, becoming a better facilitator, and gaining a little bit of confidence in my own voice. At the time, I did a little bit of research and realized that women have a disproportionate amount of public speaking anxiety. So you've probably heard this figure that public speaking is the biggest fear in the world for the majority of people. 75% of people say that they have some kind of anxiety around speaking.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
The majority of that 75%, 44%, are women. So why is it that women are more insecure about speaking up in a public speaking context? Could it be societal pressures that have been placed upon us? Because, you know, you would think if there were no external factors, it would be 50-50, right? So there mm-hmm. has to be something else societally that's impacting the fact that women are afraid to raise their voice. And maybe it's because when women speak up, they're criticized, A, for the sound of their voice, for being shrill or upspeak, or all of these funny, just normal things that happen with voice that have been categorized as undesirable, specifically to be able to refer to women's voices. Or could it be that when you speak up as a woman, sometimes you get overly or especially criticized for the content of what you say? This led me to believe that there needs to be more opportunities to help cultivate confidence for women's speaking. And podcasting felt like a really wonderful, safe place to do that. I'm sure this topic has been covered many times on your show, but we know how good podcasting is for business and promotion, right? It's, you get to sit in the ear of your listeners for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. So we know it's good for business. We know it's a high converting medium, but we also know that speaking is a muscle. So when you do it more, you get better at it. And if you can do that in a safe place, while having a community around you that is encouraging you to get behind the mic, that's encouraging you to go reach out to your heroes and the people you admire and do things that maybe you're afraid to do, maybe even take on a live podcasting opportunity, actually turn that safe environment up a little bit and push yourself to do speaking that actually becomes public at the time, man, maybe more women would be out there selling their products, building their businesses, telling their stories, and we would get more media as a result that reflected the demographics of the listeners.
So I love how much you're talking about confidence, because I think it takes a lot of courage to get behind the mic and does demand a certain level of confidence with all the various activities that you mentioned. So given your experience working on the wave and working directly with women, like what kind of tactics have you've seen work in inspiring or fostering confidence when it comes to being a podcaster?
Yeah, there's two areas that I see that where women need a push. The first is in starting, and there's a lot of the imposter syndrome that comes in. I went out and interviewed a ton, the way that you do user research for a tool. In building a community, I did user research for my community and for,
awesome,
for my business. Yeah. So we went out and interviewed a ton of women, both prospective podcasters who haven't started yet and existing podcasters who are speaking about their experience of starting. What I was looking for were easy areas for me to solution my studio around or solution my website around. And what I got was a whole other area where women were being underserved by the podcasting resources that they had. I heard a lot of, yeah, the equipment's hard to figure out, but I can figure it out. I'm not really worried about that. What I'm worried about is actually having to sit down and listen to my voice recorded back to me in the car. Like, I'm terrified of that. I don't sure. think I should. I remember a girl who was like, what are my friends going to think of, you know, who am I to get on the and say I'm talk about any one topic? You know, what will my friends think of me by even having the audacity to record a podcast episode? So what I realized is that, yes, the same resources, questions, technical questions that exist for women who want to start podcasts exist, but there's a whole other layer of support that just starts in your mind around imposter syndrome. Am I qualified to do this? Should I be doing this? What does my voice sound like? What will people think? So I realized there was an emotional layer that we needed to be able to support. And we do that by just normalizing those thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. It's normal to start something new and be anxious about it. It's normal to start something new and wonder what the outcome will be or wonder what people think. It's like that line of reasoning is the thing that saved you from getting eaten when you would like adventure into an uncharted territory. It's a safety mechanism. You just have to normalize it and realize that every person, all of your heroes who have gone through the same process as you, went through that exact same experience and maybe even felt like they had more to lose because they had more of a community and more on the line. So mm-hmm. normalizing is our key technique for when it comes to things like imposter syndrome, anxiety, fear of listening to your own voice, normalizing that's how everyone feels. And you really just have to push through it. So that's for women starting podcasts. The other fear I get, or thing that I hear when we went out and interviewed women who were maybe a little bit further along in their podcasting experience, is, am I resonating? Is the message actually sinking in? Am I having the impact that I want to have? And to do that, to help with that, we help women prioritize the why behind their podcast and not the unnecessary metrics that indicate success somehow. So you don't need to get to a certain number of downloads. You just need to have the impact that you wanted to have. So, you know, that fear about, am I successful? Am I doing the right thing? Did I waste my time on my podcast? Should I keep going? Coming back to the why, moving your metric of success more around your impact and less about numbers, money, things that just don't matter. That is the technique we use for helping women overcome that second barrier that comes after your starting barrier.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back soon with more from Between Two Mics. Are you recording video along with audio for your podcast?
Earlier this year, we released our video feature, which allows Squadcasters to record, download, edit, and upload video content to go along with your podcast.
Lots of creators use video alongside audio to create marketing elements, to engage with listeners, and to generally make their content more accessible.
Squadcasters who listen to this podcast and want to upgrade to a video and audio plan get their first month free with the code BETWEEN. That's all caps and spelled BETWEEN.
And new Squadcasters, we've got something for you too. Use code NEWBIE, That's all caps, NEWBIE, at checkout for your first month free when you sign up for Squadcast.
We're so excited to hear and see what you can make on Squadcast. Again, that's the code BETWEEN at checkout for Squadcasters looking to upgrade.
And code NEWBIE at checkout for soon-to-be Squadcasters. Head to squadcast.fm to claim these offers and start creating. To hear you say it, I think it is one awesome that you did that research. I don't think that that's something most people who are for a product and things like that maybe, but you know, as a community, maybe that's kind of less obvious. And that's really inspiring to hear you say that. And I'm also picking up on maybe some of the method here. I'm picking up on the like kind of the design thinking process applied here as well. Again, to you know your background. So I think that's awesome to see it come to life, and you know a very big surface area like problem to solve, like the opportunity on the other side of solving some of these problems has a huge impact on its own, right? So it's kind of meta in that way that you're helping everybody find their impact, but then your impact with the wave is kind of compounded at a ever growing rate. So
I've got a podcast about podcasting made for podcaster. It's like, if it ain't meta, it ain't me, you know.
Well, you're on one, so you should be comfy.
I know. I've never been happier than I am right now.
That's cool.
And design thinking, the fact that design thinking as a term made its way in, like, I'm done. I don't need to be on any other podcasts. Like,
the magic of Zach right there.
Big fan. I mean, in the startup world, like it tries to get rebranded as like lean startup and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's all design thinking.
It's all design thinking. Give it back to the designers. You know, they might not have had the chance to go start up and be a founder and use lean startup. They're still just applying design thinking for a fee and to get really, really deep on it. No, I think a design, I was talking to my mom about this recently. When you think about you're expecting, and so I'm sure all of these things are on your mind about the philosophies and the concepts you want to teach your children. I'm convinced that you can't go wrong with a design degree because you essentially are learning to problem solve. And that is just what every business, country, community, I mean, you can apply problem solving. If you do it well, if you learn to iterate and learn the practice of design and practice of problem solving, the opportunities are truly limitless.
And the magnitude of the problems that you've chosen to solve and address, or I should rephrase that as challenges, right? Like these are things that can be overcome. And I think your method is certainly helping to overcome those. And, you know, you have this huge focus, you touched on it, this focus at the wave of community. So like, what kind of community are you hoping to foster, and what's been effective for you in that effort? So you've talked about kind of helping normalize like for the individual woman who's coming in and collaborating with you, but like how do you get the whole community to kind of foster this same mission?
You're absolutely right that it can't just be one-to-one when it comes to spreading this message and helping women overcome, because the same theory and concept can be delivered 1,000 different ways and only resonate when that one person says it to you. I also mentioned that speaking and doing some of these things is a practice. So it needs continual fostering that maybe an individual like me, you know, I've never wanted to be the linchpin in this impact working. So letting people find each other and help each other around these same concepts is critical to that. The first place we started is by defining the where does the community live? Where do they show up? And then how do we give them the tools to do that thing? So right now, our primary community of female podcasters, female identifying, when you enter the community, we don't ask your gender. We just say that this is a community for women. And if that's how if you feel that's your community, more than welcome. That community is currently on Slack, is the medium we chose to the site, the where that we chose to house our community, because it's all about information. And I think it's a great communication and information tool, far better than Facebook groups, for example, for what we were trying to create.
I agree, and then, 100% on that, by the way.
Yes. Another Slack fan in the group. Well, and there's some people who come in and are like, I never use this tool. I can't use it. And we try, and some people just won't adopt, and that's totally okay. I will say that before COVID, we actually had an in-person community in Los Angeles, and we're trying to create these communities all over the country and I guess the globe. We did a few in-person meetings, and I still think in-person is always better. I will never not be a space person. I'll never not believe that something magic happens when you're actually in the room together. But, you know, we have to be inclusive. If one of our brand values is inclusivity, if you have a Los Angeles-based community, you're excluding everyone who, A, can't afford to live in a city, doesn't want to, wasn't born there, wasn't born in this country, that are factors that, you know, they didn't choose. So being digital is a better way to represent our values of inclusivity for our community. And within that Slack group, we do a lot of things to help people find each other, go deeper on their questions, support each other. I'll just name a few things that I love, or a few programs that I think are working really well. The first thing is a plugin to Slack called Donut Date, I believe. What it does is it randomly matches individuals in our community and encourages them to meet on a semi-regular basis. So you get paired up, you are encouraged to meet, it facilitates the questions that you can ask each other, or you can just ad lib it, and sets up the meeting link and things like that. I love this feature because every single week I get a new person in my inbox who I get to go spend as much time as I want, 15 minutes, half an hour. This has been an awesome way for the community to meet people. And I think if you have a community, I'm firm on this, you have to foster the engagement. You cannot expect people to come into a community and be left to their own devices and get what they want out of the community, because it's hard to go promote yourself and not feel like a total dummy. Mm-hmm. And come out and be like, hey, I'm 32 years old. I'm looking for friends. Like, can we hang out? It's so awkward. It's such a, nobody likes it. No one likes receiving it. No one likes doing it. And I hate these networking groups where you go to and you're expected to do all the legwork to make the connections. So I love that this is a forced thing. If you don't want to get together, you can't get together, don't get together. But you have this excuse to fall back onto of like, well, guess we're paired up. Maybe we should get together. So the donut date works really well. The other thing we do are what we call weekly challenges. So we choose a topic, I choose a topic, and present it to the community and ask the community to do the challenge. So we're improving our podcast, we say one challenge at a time. We're not trying to do it all. We're trying to take it in steps. And we have evidence and proof and examples of our peers who are doing the same thing at the same time. So it's very, does have kind of roots in design, where you come and you present your work and you get feedback on it, and then you do another round. So every week on Wednesdays, our Slack community challenge goes out, and then we have office hours to discuss that on Fridays live. So some people don't participate, some do. The point of it is that if you want to have a place that is actually pushing you to make the meaningful changes and improvements to your podcast that are going to help you achieve your goals, there is a mechanism in place to do that. It's not just an expectation that you need to work harder, be more motivated, be more productive, and show up to this community. We're actually trying to foster something in this digital community. It's a small group, but it's mighty. And man, oh man, I've got love for these ladies in there.
Reminds me a lot of what my favorite community groups that I identify with or engage with. It's like they're very active and proactive and really great about encouraging folks to meet up, not just kind of having a time and a place to meet and just hoping that everyone figures it out. Like, you're very right. Methodical in your approach. And I think that's speaks volumes. And as you know, Sounder did a fabulous piece on you. And one of the most powerful statements you said was community helps normalize imposter syndrome, which I think is really showing here, is that you're just like really phenomenal approach that I think a lot of our audience can benefit from hearing, like, and examples like you just shared are great examples of that. But looking forward, you know, your business has, I mean, we've just been talking about constant evolution with your whole journey and within your business, of course, with the pandemic in 2020 and, you know, still bleeding into 2021. Unfortunately, you've had to adapt and change. But what are we looking forward to for the way of podcasting and beyond?
I've felt that during the pandemic, I would dive into digital and then come back to this original vision of creating physical space for women. And that dream has started, or that vision has started to fade a little bit in its appeal, mostly because of what I mentioned about being able to have this wider reach and be able to include more people in the vision by having a digital platform. So instead of thinking of The Wave being an online community with all kinds of wonderful educational resources as only one part of the company, that is now where I feel like the most value and the heart of the company is. It's online.
Wow.
Yeah. We are not a real estate business. We are a digital digital platform, which, you know, some people will be like, who never even knew that original vision will be like, duh, like, that's not revolutionary. But it is internally for me.
I get it.
Yeah. It feels like a big decision to make. And saying that, we're now going to, in 2021, double down on creating digital resources and going beyond education, which has been our primary focus, just creating the community and the resources to help women learn and grow their podcasts, to actually providing digital services for women. And this month, we're launching a brand new editing service called Swell. We're using this name to be able to have people be able to quickly identify it outside of The Wave, which does many things and has many tabs and many pages
name.
Of a website. Thank
Swell
you.
Swell is pretty dope.
Thank you.
It's Swell.
It's Swell.
Hey.
Swell, brand new podcast editing service. And it's editing services in podcasting. It's not new, but I like to think that the way that we're implementing it hasn't been done before, which is all of the editing services are performed by female audio engineers and are exclusively for female podcasters. The reason we're doing that is you have to ask in a world where women's voices are already receiving a certain amount of scrutiny, if men should be editing women's voices and creating and defining what the standard of acceptable audio is.
Yeah.
Should they be reducing the pitch down so that women's voices are lower? Or should we be thinking about that as the preferable tone? Should we be removing certain upspeak or certain terminology that sounds informal? Or should we accept that there's lots of ways to communicate a message and accept the fact that there isn't a standard of communicating or ideal audio or ideal speaking? So that's the concept behind it. Now, the other thing that we're doing that's a little bit different is that pricing and hiring an outsourced editor requires money. And in the podcasting world, being able to outsource your production is one of the key ways that you can actually make space to be able to grow your show, go promote it, go be a guest on other people's podcasts, go pitch publications, go and get involved in online communities. All those things that you do to go grow your podcast require time. And in order to relieve yourself of the production time, you need to hire someone. So money becomes a limiting factor and reduces the accessibility of podcasting or successful podcasting.
It does.
To marginalized demographics who are impacted by cost more than others. So our goal is to keep costs as low as possible. And to do that, we are very transparent about the fact that we outsource our editing to developing countries, hire women there, pay them a livable wage, and use the benefits of globalization to be able to offer services at a lower rate so that hopefully more women can use outsource editing services. So Swell, in a package, it's an editing service for women, by women, and we charge a fair price that is also fair to our editors so they can make a livable wage and provide a service that is really needed for women to have successful podcasts.
The differentiators that you laid out there are meaningful, you know, and also we'll see the results of that as well. Like, that's really what's exciting to me, like looking forward with the new service. And thank you for sharing that with us and our audience, by the way. That's super exciting to hear how things are evolving and developing for the Wave and with the new Swell product service, I guess I should say. And that's something that, you know, you raise really valid points about the standard and also how unchecked biases or unknown biases can creep their way into, it's not in service of your mission if like the person who is actually then finishing the mastering and editing of the episode isn't necessarily in line with that mission. It all kind of stands to kind of lose something at that stage of the workflow. And by preserving, establishing this, I think it can preserve that all the way through to the listener, where it can resonate even more.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're trying to pair editors and podcasters in a way that's even more meaningful. You know, you fill out a survey, we connect you with someone who either has a lot of experience in your niche of your podcast, who has certain interests in the things that you're podcasting about. I mean, it's really
hard. That
helps
a lot.
It does. And you really, it's hard to quantify what the result is, really, other than the fact that listeners, you know, continue to tune back into the podcast that they feel most connected with and where the message resonates the most. So anything that you can do to preserve that is ultimately beneficial for the podcaster. It's all one big experiment. I'm not claiming that this is going to solve any problems, but it is an attempt to do something that hasn't been done before and just see what the result is. I'm all about experimentation and iteration, and I just can't wait to see what happens with Swell. I'm so excited.
To kind of wrap things up, I want to thank you again, Lauren, for sharing so much about the work that you do. Just to kind of recap, we kind of established where you got your start in design, interior design, real estate, how that was a natural progression into podcasting, founding the Wave Podcasting and helping to empower more women to find their voice and feel, you know, normalized within some of the anxiety that can be a barrier to entry, and then kind of looking forward with where this community is growing and these different directions and the resources you're providing, the new Swell service. It's been a really, really fun conversation, and I just am tremendously grateful for the work that you're contributing to podcasting. That's what this show is about people like yourself out on the edges of podcasting, helping to define and redefine what podcasting means, because we all play a role in that. It's still early days. And I think, you know, thanks to people like yourself, this is a medium that is getting more inclusive, more diverse, and, you know, all of these voices coming to audiences and listeners is very, very exciting times to be a podcaster. And I'm grateful that you're part of the community.
Well, thank you so much for making this space for me and for others. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll have to keep the conversation going. And anything else you'd like to add for our listeners, or where can they find you and the work that you do at The Wave and check out the new Swell service, all of those things?
Man, oh man, how many links can you fit into this
moment?
How much
you got?
I got it all. Listen, the best place to get exactly. The best place to get to me, Lauren Popish, with all of my things that I have for you, is on Instagram. I'll be in the DMs. I'm there. I can direct you to the right place. I know we talked about a lot of things, the digital community, services, educational resources, all of those things are available for you. But if you're just like, let me just ask you for what I'm looking for, find me in the DMs of Instagram. It's at The Wave Podcasting. And our website is thewavepodcasting.com, where there are links to all those things too. But I'm happy to be a guide to all of the things we've got going.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Between Two Mics.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation.
If you learned something or we intrigued you a bit, let us know on social media.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn by searching for Squadcast FM.
And if you want to show the podcast some love, you can leave us a rating or review wherever it is you're listening right now.
This show is put together by us, Zach and Rock. It's mixed and produced by Vince Moreno with help from Ariel Nissenblatt. Our logo is designed by Alex Wedby.
Since we're a podcast about podcasts, we want to shout out the brands and products that we trust. We're recording using Squadcast.fm, and here's our current stack. For recording, we're using ATR 2100 mics, Apple AirPods Max headphones, and Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 audio interfaces.
We edit the show on Adobe Audition, and our hosting site is Simplecast.
That's it for us this week. We're back next week with more from Between These Mics.